The Best in Class podcast is back with an NFC West draft breakdown. Sean Sullivan, the Joe Bucks fan draft guru, he's all over it, fast and furious. Four teams, 30 minutes. Dive in. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and this is Sean Sullivan coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios with Best in Class. This is the NFC West. We are going to be breaking it down, and we're going to jump through these teams. But first, let's talk about Bill Curry for a second. Bill Curry Ford is a third-generation family-owned business over 65 years in Tampa. Right now, we have factory pricing, actually $5,000 up to below factory pricing. So we're going to do the factory price. We're going to give you a little bit more of a discount. We're going to give you 3 months for deferred payments. We're going to give you interest rates as low as 0%. That's correct on remaining 2024s. Right now, we have an amazing pre-owned certified sale going on gold certified, which gives you an extra year and 12,000-mile warranty on top of the factory warranty, which is 3-year, 36, 5-year, 60 powertrain with a very large selection going on right now. So we have so many things besides pickup and delivery, which is free, and mobile service for your home or for your business. Please call Bill Curry Ford today or visit us at BillCurryFord.com and see all the amazing specials and set up your appointments there. Lots of stuff. Very proud of it. We have the new Ford Pro Elite Commercial Center opening up in November to help serve all of the commercial businesses in Tampa. Again, the Currys have been serving Tampa for now 3 generations. Heading into the 4th generation, very excited. With all the graduations coming up, a special shout out to all the parents whose children are graduating. It's a special time in both the parent and the child's life. So we do everything we can as parents to launch them into the world. So I'm very, very optimistic and hopeful of this next generation. And I wish all the parents and their children the best of everything. Again, I can't love my community more. I can't love Tampa more than I do. Hence the reason for this podcast. Grew up as a Bucks fan. Love the NFL. I work with NFL players. I work with One Buck Place. I've been to the Combine for the first time this past year. I've been able to interview players and live the dream of being a journalist, amateur journalist for sure, in this field, which I love so much. And I appreciate all the support that I'm given, all the reviews, all the emails at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. I appreciate you, every single person that listens, good or bad. I will take compliments as well as constructive criticism. Again, email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. Follow me at Apple, Podbeam, and all the places where you listen to your podcasts. Again, let's break down the NFC West, starting with the San Francisco 49ers, who just signed Brock Purdy to a $55 million a year deal. Not sure how many NFL fans, and doesn't have to be Buccaneer fans, actually believe that Brock Purdy is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. He sure hasn't been in the last 2 seasons. Baker Mayfield statistically has been a top 5 quarterback in the NFL the last 2 seasons. I believe he's number 1 in touchdown passes in the last 2 seasons combined. So that's really interesting stat. But, you know, I'm a big Baker fan. I think he fits into what we do in Tampa. I'm happy for Brock Purdy. He's Mr. Irrelevant, gets a $55 million a year deal, but I think it's a little rich for me on a team that the 49ers are going to need to rebuild. They spent most of this draft on defensive players. Obviously, their defense was a little shaky last year. I don't think their offense was actually terrific last year either. And, of course, they've had a ton of injuries. But they're led by a terrific head coach in Shanahan. So I think they're going to bounce back this year to be at least an above middle of the road team. I think they're above average team. But let's look at how they did their – let's look at how – they went into this draft. They're like, we've got to improve run support. We want to improve some of our pass rush. We have a hole at linebacker, and that's what they did. So round one, pick number 11, Mikal Williams, edge Georgia. Mikal Williams was a guy that I actually had a conversation with Brian Baldinger while I was at the Combine, and he believed that Mikal Williams was the best pass rusher in this draft. And I know he doesn't get a lot of pub as a pass rusher. He's more considered to be a run stopper, a guy that makes impact plays behind the line of scrimmage. But if you look at his pass rushing, it's small on tape, but against Texas, he dominated. He had 2.5 sacks in each game against Texas, and against big-time opponents in the SEC, he dominated. He had a foot injury last year, which really limited him as a pass rusher and as a dominant pass rusher. I believe that he's a little bit further along than people think. I think he's going to make an immediate impact for the 49ers. I do think they upgraded their run-stopping ability, but I think they also got some pass rush. Brian Baldinger is a guy that knows about pass rush. He worked with Kancey on the beach. If you remember that whole story about how he ran into him on the beach, and then he was showing him pass rushing moves and his speed, and I think Brian Baldinger's a huge fan of Kancey. I believe he believes that Kancey's going to have a massive year this year. I think he's going to be an over a 10-sack guy. I think Brian is really high on him, and out of all the people I talked about, he was the highest on Mikal Williams, as long as he's healthy, as long as his foot injury is healthy. He believes that he was a top 10 pick, and he went number 11, so I can't really argue with that. In the second round, they went back to the defensive line again with another run stopper, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle out of Texas. This guy is dominant against the run. Texas had these big tackles. They were fantastic on the defensive line, but San Francisco said, we're going into this draft kind of like the Bucs did. If you look at what the Bucs drafted, they drafted two wide receivers, they drafted two pass rushers, and they drafted two cornerbacks. That was their draft. That was this. They drafted three positions. That's it. The 49ers' first two picks, this is going to define their draft with what Mikal and Alfred do in the first two picks. Now, they did come back in round three, pick 75, pick up Nick Martin, linebacker of Oklahoma State. This is a pretty interesting move because they needed to find a replacement for Dre Greenlaw. So Nick Martin, the linebacker of Oklahoma State, is going to replace Dre Greenlaw in the rotation, but also the 49ers did sign two off-the-ball linebackers in free agency, so he's going to be in that mix. But Nick Martin brings a lot of experience. He's a three-year starter. He's a terrific tackler. He's not going to have the physicality of Greenlaw, but he's going to add some tackling ability and some scheme fits that I think is going to really help the 49ers defense. Round three, at 100, they picked Upton Stout, cornerback out of Western Kentucky. Over the past two seasons, Stout has not allowed a touchdown as the nearest defender in coverage on over 400 snaps in college football. Interesting guy. I'm not happy with his size. Got good speed. Interesting pick for me, but he seems to be a scheme fit for the 49ers. In round four, they got, to me, one of the most underrated players. They went defensive tackle again with C.J. West out of Indiana. This guy was dominant in Indiana. He was a guy by himself, constant double teams. I really thought this was a guy the Buccaneers would be looking at as well if we didn't get a defensive tackle with some pass rush. I really thought he was in the mix because I hear he's a class act. I hear he takes the coaching well. I believe he's a very mature player. He's a scheme fit. I think the 49ers, between Mikal Williams, Alfred Collins, and C.J. West, really shored up, and of course throw in Nick Martin, really shored up that middle of the defense that they were working on. They came back in round four and picked up their first offensive player at pick 138 with Jordan Watkins, wide receiver out of Ole Miss. The really interesting thing about Watkins is he did lead the SEC in touchdown receptions in nine. He's a really big red zone guy, very productive, gets open. I think there's something here for Jordan Watkins in round four. Now, the San Francisco 49ers have a very, very great receiving room. If you look at it, lots of depth, lots of guys that can do a lot of different things. I think he adds some speed to that room. I think that's important. They come back in round five and get Jordan James, running back out of Oregon, kind of a Swiss Army knife for a running back. He joins another room full of running backs, which the 49ers have. McCaffrey, obviously, is still going in as a starter. I believe they drafted last year's draft pick, Gilliard. I don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. He was often injured last year, so we'll see how that goes. In the fifth round, again, they had a second fifth-round pick at pick 160. They picked Marquez, safety out of Kansas State. He brings some speed. He had a 4.37 40 at the combine. Interesting safety prospect. He also plays special teams. I think it's great value in the fifth round. And then they had three seventh-round draft picks. They drafted Curtis Rourke, a very productive QB out of Indiana, Connor Colby, a guard out of Iowa, and Junior Burgeon, a wide receiver out of Montana. So he's obviously a punt returner, special teams player. Junior is. I don't know if he's not going to compete, I don't think, for a full-time wide receiver or even a backup wide receiver job. But again, they drafted wide receivers, they drafted a running back, and then they drafted basically all defense with defensive tackles and linebackers. Very interesting draft for the 49ers. It has not been well received by the pundits around the NFL. They thought that this was one of the worst drafts this year. I'm interested to understand why they think that. If they're looking at it from a purely This is how many picks they had. They had a lot of picks, for sure. How many of these picks are they going to hit in? I can tell you right now, the Mikal Williams, Alfred Martin, Nick Martin, and C.J. West are all going to be massive contributors this year for the San Francisco 49ers. Put your money on it. It's going to happen. Those guys are going to be seriously involved in snaps and making a difference on the 49ers. If those four guys hit, does it really matter if all the other guys are depth pieces? Upton Stout might be more than a depth piece. I don't know. I'm not really high on him, but we'll see. But I think if you look at what they did, they just went for some depth and they wanted to stop the run. And I think they accomplished that. But again, I don't grade drafts. I can only tell you how the players are. The philosophy they went into this draft with and the players they drafted fit what their goal was going into the draft. So if we're just going to grade it on, did you hit on the goals you had going into the draft? It's clear that John Lynch did that. He got pass rush. He got run stopping. He got a linebacker replacement for a Pro Bowler. And he got some guys that I think can hit or miss. And I think C.J. West, defensive tackle out of Indiana, he's got something. They got him in round 4, pick 113. I think he's a lot better than where he was drafted. I think he's going to surprise some people. Moving on to the Rams. The Los Angeles Rams, of course, made the deal with the Atlanta Falcons, who picked up Pierce with an extra first round. So Los Angeles went into this draft and got a high, what I believe is going to be a high first round draft pick next year. We'll see. There's a lot of people picking Atlanta to win our division. I have no idea why. Going into this season with a rookie quarterback that started 4 games in the NFL, which I believe that he's going to be a franchise quarterback. They have a good running game. Their defense is suspect, and they added a bunch of rookie pass rushers, which you don't know what you get out of rookie pass rushers. Statistically, in the NFL, rookie pass rushers don't do very well. It usually takes 2 to 3 years for them to come into being a dominant force on a pass rusher, if that's what they're going to be. But we're going to go through the Rams. Their first pick was in round 2. By the way, this is a Rams team that over the last 3 seasons has dominated drafts, especially in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th rounds. And we're going to go through this in the offseason. We have plenty of time before the Bucs start, but when the NFL starts. But I want to talk to you about the Rams for a second. 3rd, 4th, and 5th rounds, they have the most snaps in any of the NFL drafts for their players that they've picked in the last 3 years. That's been pretty unbelievable in that middle of the draft. They had Defensive Player of the Year last year, right? And again, they had another guy that was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. They've been extremely good drafting. I don't understand why the NFL doesn't give them credit for that. The Rams draft was very low, I believe, acknowledged by the rest of the pundits in the NFL. I think they believe the Rams had one of the worst drafts. And I don't understand it. This Terrence Ferguson, this tight end out of Oregon, which was the 2nd round pick out of number 46, this guy's a baller. I don't care what they say. I know that they passed on Arroyo from Miami, another player that I like a lot. Terrence Ferguson fits what they're trying to do a lot better. He's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, gives him some blocking. But this guy makes tough catches. And he can high point the ball. This guy played in an offense where he was featured. I'm telling you, I wouldn't sleep on Terrence Ferguson. Ferguson being a top tight end in the offensive side for rookies. I think he's got only one player that he's going to be competing with going in. And I don't even know if that player makes it to the June 2nd cuts. We'll see, because he's getting paid $6 million. So we'll see how that goes. The Rams had the fewest receiving yards in the NFL from their tight end in 2024. Just think about that. Out of 32 teams, the Rams had the fewest receiving yards from a tight end. I think Terrence Ferguson changes that quite a bit. In round 3, Josiah Stewart, the edge out of Michigan. Stewart had 14 sacks in 2 seasons at Michigan, where he lined up primarily as an outside linebacker. I think he's great value at pick 90, round 3. Solid pick. Round 4, Jarquez Hunter, running back out of Auburn. It's an interesting guy, this guy, because the Rams definitely have a type. What they do with running backs, they like these guys that are really tough, that have yards after impact or after contact, however you want to. I'd say impact because it's really an impact. Contact is like, hey, shaking your hand. Impact is like, I'm trying to knock your head off. And this guy, Hunter, had 4.3 yards per rush after contact in 2024, which led all running backs in the SEC. And again, all players, not just running backs. He led all players in the SEC at 4.03 yards per rush after contact. The guy has great balance. I think he's going into a very busy room for running back position for them. I think the Rams have invested heavily in running backs between Blake last year out of Michigan and then Williams out of Notre Dame the year prior. there's something to be said. Even though I'm not very high on Hunter, he does. Sometimes the players aren't as good as the scheme they're going to run. And I believe the way that they run their offense, there's going to be opportunities for Hunter to get the ball and succeed where some of his, he's limited in some of their athletic ability, where they're going to really play to his strengths. We'll see how that goes. Ty Hamilton, the defensive tackle out of Ohio State in pick five, 96% of his total tackle attempts were made last year. This guy's a tackling machine. He doesn't miss tackles. Kind of like our conversation about Kancey, who was 100% on tackles last year in the NFL. That was a next-gen stat. I believe Lita Kemper reported on that. It was an interesting statistic. This guy in college had made 96% of his tackles, which led Ohio State. Ty Hamilton, defensive tackle, round five, amazing value at pick 148. Chris Paul, round five, linebacker out of Ole Miss, pick 172. Chris Paul is an instant starter in the NFL. Chris Paul Jr. is a guy that's not spectacular, all right? He's not going to be a star in the NFL. That's not what anybody's saying. This guy, all he does is start. All he does is play. He eats snaps, and the guy doesn't get hurt. And he makes the plays he's supposed to make. He is a lunchbox-carrying linebacker in the NFL. Does his job and then goes home. Chris Paul Jr., write it down, is going to be a starter for the Rams. He's going to be dropped right into linebacker. Everyone's going to be pleasantly surprised by him. I don't care about his athletic testing. He is a baller, and that's what he is. He's a lunch pail baller. That should be his nickname. Round seven, pick 242. Kanota Mumfield, wide receiver out of Pittsburgh. He's a depth player, special teams player. Let's look back at what the Rams did. With their first round draft pick, they got most likely a top, what I believe would be a top 10, top 12 pick next year, because I don't think the Falcons are going to be this massive team. I could be wrong, but I believe the Rams are gambling on the same thing. In the second round, they got what I believe is going to be a starting tight end in Terrence Ferguson, tight end of Oregon. I think he's fantastic. Josiah Stewart, edge Michigan, is going to get playing time right away. Round four, Jarquez Hunter. I'm not as high on him, but he is a scheme fit. Ty Hamilton is going to get snaps at defensive tackle at Ohio State. Chris Paul is probably going to start for them. I believe he's a starting linebacker in the NFL at pick 172. So if you look at their – they didn't have a lot of picks. But they hit on some football players. I'm sorry, I don't see what these other guys are seeing. I think there's three guys here that are going to contribute with snaps right away and possibly two starters, maybe three starters. And they picked up another first-round draft pick next year. Again, going into next year with two first-round draft picks. And I believe the Rams are a playoff team. Arizona Cardinals were next. They got one of my absolute favorite players. They got Walter Nolan. This is the gentleman that I wanted the Bucs to pick in the first round when I had them picking defense. I did not have them picking a wide receiver. I did have 11 right in the first round, which puts me as one of the top predictors of mock drafts for 2025 in the country, which I'm very proud of. But Walter Nolan, defensive tackle at Ole Miss, he just brings this controlled violence, pass rusher, dominant on the line of scrimmage, makes all the plays. I absolutely love him. I don't know what kind of guy he was off the field. He had a couple of reports that he walked off the practice field at Ole Miss because he wasn't happy with the way his team was playing, wasn't happy with the way his team was practicing. You can look at that two ways. I looked at it as, okay, did he quit on his team and walk off, and that's what everybody's saying? When I talked to Lita Kemper about it prior to the NFL draft, Lee looked at it as a completely different perspective. He said leaders, if he was upset about the way that they were practicing, he walked off the field to show his teammates, hey, we need to do better. We need to practice better. I'm not happy with this. I think some guys would have just went through the motions and did their job and say, well, I did my job, right? I did my job. I mean, how many times have we heard that in our lifetime? I don't know. I wasn't there. But there is two different perspectives on that. Walter Nolan is a beast. He is going to be a beast for Arizona. I'm looking forward to watching him in his rookie year. Excellent pick at pick 16, right before the Bucs picked at 19. I would have been interested to see if he was on there at 19, if the Bucs would have pulled the trigger, because I think that he's a dominant defensive tackle. In round two, they picked Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, who's coming off of injury. Will Johnson was a, from what I understand, a top 10 pick in the NFL draft before the injury. They've got him at pick 47. If he's healthy, that's a steal. So their first two picks to me are terrific value, but I think they got two amazing football players as long as Will Johnson's healthy. Pick number 78, Jordan Burch out of Edge out of Oregon. Here's a guy that I did a lot of studying on. If you guys go to Edge in Best in Class Library, and look it up. And you guys can find that on Joe Buck's Fan or on Apple. You can look into the library and look at the and listen to that podcast. I think this guy adds a lot of football to that outside. I think this is a football player. And I think he does everything that he's supposed to do in the trenches. I really like him. I think he's a physical player. Between him and Walter Nolan, I think they were really going for a certain type of guy. And then it was solidified because pick number 115 in the fourth round, they pick up Cody Summan at linebacker out of Ohio State. Again, a solid linebacker. So these off-the-ball linebackers, it's kind of crazy the way they fall in the draft. It's insane to me that you get these solid players who play in college football playoffs, who play against the highest level of competition, who play against NFL talent and produce. And because, you know, they're not track superstars, aren't first-round draft picks, or even the value of the off-the-ball linebacker is interesting to me. But Cody's – this guy can play. Denzel Burke, another corner out of Ohio State, see a theme. Denzel Burke, very physical corner, kind of fits what Arizona's trying to do. I like him a lot as a fifth-round pick. It wasn't high in him in the top two rounds. I think he could have gone in the fourth round for sure. I think there's a little bit of a steal factor here. Hayden Connor, guard out of Texas. He's an interior depth guy. It's going to give them some backup. And then Keaton Crawford, safety out of Nevada. There wasn't much I know about him. When I did my research on him, he's probably going to be a special teams player right away if he does make the team. But if you look at the Arizona Cardinals, what a draft they had. Walter Nolan is going to be a star in the NFL. Write it down. Will Johnson, if he's healthy, will start for the Arizona Cardinals. Jordan Birch out of Oregon is going to start for them. Cody Simon, the linebacker out of Ohio State, is going to be in the mix. He's going to get snaps. Denzel Burke is going to be worked into the rotation, probably as a slot corner to start, and then the rest are depth. Great job, Arizona. They haven't had terrific drafts. I really felt like they went into this draft trying to get more physical in this conference, and I believe they did that. I believe there's three extremely physical players that they drafted. Congratulations to the front office of the Arizona Cardinals. Now let's get on to the Sea Chickens. The Seattle Seahawks, for those of you who don't know why I don't like the Seahawks very much, not only they came in at the same time as the Buccaneers in 1976. So they were our sister team, kind of like the team that comes in. You kind of measure your success off the Seattle success. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have two Super Bowls. So now the Seahawks, I believe, have one Super Bowl. They should have had two Super Bowls under Pete Carroll. The Seattle Seahawks have done an amazing job drafting. As much as I don't like the Sea Chickens, I have to give them credit. They picked some enormously talented players. They really knocked the cover off the ball as far as who they drafted, their football experience, and what they're going to impact the team on. I'm going to start with Gray Zabel, the guard out of North Dakota State. This guy at 18 was the best guard in the draft. He's an instant starter. This is could be a Pro Bowl guard for them in the first round this year. There's a likelihood that he makes the Pro Bowl as a rookie. That's how dominant and good he is. I truly believe that. I know how hard it is for offensive linemen and guards to come in as rookies and dominate. This guy's an exception. The Seahawks did an amazing job at pick 18. Round two, Nick Emuori. I talked about him at length on Best in Class, my safety breakdown. I believed he was the best safety in the draft out of South Carolina. They got him at pick 35, just out of the first round. He has the best NFL draft combine athletic testing in NFL history. He had a perfect score. He is the perfect size, speed, jump, vertical. He can do every three cone. He does everything as the very best that's ever been done. Now he has to translate that onto the football field. So this isn't the Olympics, right? This isn't winning a gold. This is you gotta actually do the football. This is a guy I'm super high on. I can't wait to watch him play. I'm gonna stand by my pick that he was the best safety in this draft, and I hope that he makes me look good. Their next pick, Elijah Arroyo, the tight end of Miami. Oh my gosh, super quick, runs amazing routes. Finds the soft zones, terrific red zone target. Cam Ward was the number one pick in the NFL draft, could not absolutely rave enough about him and said that he is an elite tight end and that you know, he basically helped him in his career and helped him win games, helped him hit 40 touchdowns last year. I'm telling you, there's something special about Arroyo. And I understand that the Rams picked Terrence Ferguson over him, but that was because it was a better scheme fit for them. I truly believe that that's what they wanted. Arroyo is like having another star wide receiver on the field. So if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, you need to be very encouraged by these first three picks. These first three picks will all start for the Seahawks. I'm fascinated. And this was, again, they had a first-round pick and 2 second-round picks, and they knocked it out of the park. Going into the third round, this is the pick that I don't understand. And I might be wrong, but I have been pretty much the quarterback whisperer. I've been able to really, the last 3 years, nail these quarterbacks, including last year when I said 6 quarterbacks are going in the first round. The majority of pundits in the NFL said only 4 were going. And not only did 6 go, 6 went in the first 12 picks, was an NFL record. People will remember last year like they remembered 83 and with the Dan Marino draft and the John Elway draft. It's gonna be that level. I'm telling you, 6 guys from last year are going to be starting in the NFL this year. And again, Minnesota has already said they're starting him. So they're going in. So that means that all 6 QBs that were drafted in the first round last year will be the franchise starter this year going into the first game of the season. That is unheard of. That's crazy. I think it's exciting for the NFL to have that much young talent. But they picked Jalen Milroe, pick 92, QB out of Alabama in the third round. Here's a guy that has no equal running the football. I mean, you can talk about Michael Vick. We can talk about, you know, one of my favorite quarterbacks that just signed with the Jets in Fields, who has an NFL record, and Lamar Jackson has an NFL record. Michael Vick had an NFL record. All of those guys don't run like Jalen Milroe. I'll give him that, okay? The guy's the most incredible runner from the quarterback position I have ever seen in all the years I've watched football. There's nobody like him. I'll give you that. He can't throw the football, okay, with any type of accuracy. He can't make simple throws to the outs. He can't make timing patterns off the line of scrimmage. He can't throw a slant. He plays backyard football. He runs around with his speed, and then he waits for someone to have a broken play, and then he throws the ball down the field, and then had played with exceptional talent at Alabama who caught the ball. I watched Jalen Milroe against the USF Bulls. Okay, the USF should have won that game. They held Jalen Milroe. They absolutely destroyed him in that game. I don't understand, and by the way, USF did not have a lot of NFL talent. He gets confused easily to me. He doesn't read a second read very well. He's a first read quarterback. Now listen, can he develop? This is the same conversation that everyone had about Willis, who's now, I believe, a Packer. He's already off the Titans. So this is the same type of conversation for me. An athletic quarterback doesn't mean that he's a quarterback. It just means he's athletic. I'm not wishing anything poor for Jalen Milroe in the third round, but third round seems very high to me for him. The second thing is if they're developing him, or is he going to be like a gadget player where he's going to like do the wildcat near the goal line and then run the ball in? I could see him having that type of career because he's amazing running the ball. The best I've ever seen. Other than that, I don't know how are you going to teach him how to read defense? How are you going to teach him how to throw the ball? Not that I don't like his throwing motion. I don't think his throwing motion's overall like bad. He just can't throw it with accuracy. The NFL is all about accuracy nowadays. Everybody throws for 60%. Top quarterbacks throw for over 65%. I remember a day when Bill Parcells talked about quarterback. He wanted his quarterbacks, you know, to be at 55%. 60% would be the highest echelon. We have quarterbacks every year that touch 70%. I mean, it's pretty amazing how far we've come as overall with quarterbacks and their play. I'm not going to speak any more about this, but I think that's a really, for me, the Seahawks nailed the draft except for this pick, unless again, they're going to do some type of Jason Hill thing that the Saints did where they're going to have him in the mix and they're going to do all kinds of fun stuff with him. You know, because Sam Donald's their quarterback now, you know, maybe they're going to, because Sam Donald's not the most athletic guy, you know, maybe they're going to put him in and show some like goal line stuff. I don't know. I that's not my thing. That's not how I'd run a football team. But again, they're doing it and I'm not, right? So what do I know? Round 5, pick number 9, 142, Riley Mills, defensive tackle out of Notre Dame. He had 17 sacks in 61 college games, including 7.5 in his last 13 games. It looks like he really found his pass rush. He did tear his ACL in the playoff game. That's why he dropped to round 5. Here's a guy that I think was a late second, third-round player prior to that. So I think that's really great value. Torrey Horton, wide receiver, Colorado State. He was a dominant wide receiver. I got to watch him play quite a bit because they play Colorado. You know, when I was watching Shedeur Sanders – and Shiloh Sanders, who now is a Buccaneer, you got to see Torrey Horton just be a dominant player. At pick 166 in round five, I think that's a steal. I think that he gives them, and I know it's a crowded wide receiver room, even with the trade of Dez Bryant, but I believe Torrey Horton brings a lot in round five. I think he's going to get snaps right away. This guy, Robbie Outs, the tight end at Alabama, not a big fan. Bryce Caliberdu, offensive tackle out of Kansas. They're going to drop him into guard in round six. I think that's good value. I think he's a backup guard. Damian Martinez, running back out of Miami, round seven is a steal. This guy, Martinez, he's going to be an NFL running back. He's not going to be a primetime running back. He's going to be a guy that is going to share carries in a backfield. But the Seahawks still see chickens. They still like to run the ball. Don't sleep on Damian Martinez. There's something special about that guy. I know he's not super athletically gifted. And I know he wasn't one of the top running backs in this draft, but the running back depth in this draft was insane. This guy's a fourth-round draft pick who went in the seventh round. He's a backup running back, but I think he makes the team as a seventh-round draft pick. They had another seventh-round draft pick in Mason Richmond, an offensive tackle out of Iowa, another depth piece. I think they're moving him into guard. And then in Ricky White, the third wide receiver out of UNLV, very interesting guy. He blocked four punts and was named the Mountain West Special Teams Player of the Year in 2024. I believe that he is a special teams ace, and I believe that that's why they got him at pick 228. Wouldn't be surprised if he makes the team as a backup wide receiver and a special teams ace. It wouldn't surprise me because that's a guy that, you know, with all of the emphasis now put on special teams with the new kickoff rules, this is the guy that actually could benefit from the new kickoff rules and actually find a spot on a team just because the NFL trade the rules where normally this guy wouldn't have found a spot. But the Seattle Seahawks dominated the draft, in my opinion. Now, again, I don't grade. I'm just talking about how many players they got that are going to start and how many players that they got I think will be instant starters and possibly Pro Bowlers. And I'm telling you, their first three picks are incredible. Between Zabel, Imori, and Arroyo, very interesting picks. Jalen Milroe, you're not going to sell me on, but the rest of it's terrific depth. They got some terrific football players. Damian Martinez, round seven, I think is a steal. So again, I don't wish the Seahawks any happiness or glory. I hope they lose every game. I hope they go 0-17, but I hope these players who are pretty decent people. And again, I don't feel the same way as I feel about the Saints, about the Seahawks. Seahawks, it's a fun competition with them. I hope they lose every game, but I don't think they're bad people, right? The Saints are bad people. It's a normal rivalry. Again, I think I explained myself very well. That concludes the NFC West draft. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Just a quick look at what other NFL teams are doing. You know I love this. We're going to come back, and we're going to hit another NFC team next week. Please send me your requests, questions, comments to bestinclass@billcurryford.com. Please leave me reviews at Apple and Podbeam. I really would appreciate it. Again, visit Bill Curry Ford for all of our amazing specials and to schedule your pickup and delivery and free mobile service. You can see all of our amazing specials. Follow us at all the amazing social media sites that are out there now. I don't have to name them all. You guys know them, but it's Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all that stuff. You guys can follow us. We have everything. We have TikTok going on right now. We have some fun videos that you get to see the car business inside and out. It's a lot of fun. I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.